Beavers and ducks.
There once was a talented musician who just so happened to be an Oscar-winning movie star. When doing press tours to promote his albums, this actor, I mean musician, got visibly upset when his hugely successful acting career was mentioned in the interview.
I did not talk about shit like that. And we also said that we didn't want to hear anything about how this is my first love. You wouldn't say that to Tom Petty, would you?
That's right. When talking to Billy Bob Thornton about his music, one must not bring up his films. But his films are so gosh darn interesting, it's an impossible subject to avoid. But is Billy Bob still making these groundbreaking, envelope-pushing, thought-provoking films? Or was his artistic reputation ruined by his private life and those supermarket celebrity tabloids? Or did he chop down all that nonsense with his mighty cinematic sling blade? Whooshing! Mm-hmm. This man with the iconic southern drawl, who once told GQ that he is afraid of Komodo dragons because, quote, it's a dragon, has seen his ups and downs at the box office while enjoying a successful second act on the small screen. And of course, a hidden talent as a country musician. With a little bit of rock and roll. He is a viciously talented, super reliable character actor who lives life like a superstar leading man rock star. And now, while he enjoys his private life with wife number 6, it's time we ask that ever important question. What the f*** happened to Billy Bob Thornton? But to truly understand what the f*** happened to Billy Bob Thornton, we must begin at the beginning of the beginning began when he was born on his birthday. 1955, Arkansas. He grew up dirt poor, and would go on to try out for the Kansas City Royals baseball team, where fate had other plans for this future Academy Award winner. When a wild pitch, in his first at bat, cracked his collarbone and his dreams of making it to the big show. It all went right out the window.
Alright.
During his formative years, Billy Bob would fall in love with music. And through his music, he would eventually end up in Los Angeles, where he would begin taking acting classes and auditioning. It would be a chance encounter with the legendary Billy Wilder that would change his life. When young Billy Bob was working as a waiter at an industry event, he struck up a conversation with the famous filmmaker, who told him to consider a career as a screenwriter. Billy Bob would take this advice to heart and start writing away, while also getting small roles as an actor in projects such as Hunter's Blood in 1986, Matlock in 1987, South of Reno in 1988, Adam Sandler's Going Overboard in 1989, Chopper Chicks in Zombie Town, and For the Boys in 1991. Then he would finally get his first crack at screenwriting with the movie One False Move. And this film was originally meant to go direct to video, but had such a positive word of mouth that it got a theatrical release. And One False Move was Gene Siskel's favorite movie of 1992. Written by Billy Bob. The following year, you could see Billy Bob as part of the tremendous ensemble cast in the now classic western Tombstone, followed by small parts in Blood In, Blood Out, Indecent Proposal, Ghost Brigade, Trouble Bound, and he was even in that Steven Seagal movie, On Deadly Ground. Oh, and we cannot forget the art house western Dead Man. In 1987, he was shooting a film, The Man Who Broke a Thousand Chains, and he came up with a character, an intellectually challenged man who murdered his mother and her lover when he was just 12. Billy Bob would develop a monologue for this character before turning it into a one-man show called Swine Before Pearls, which he would then use for the basis of his 1994 short film, Some Folks Call It a Sling Blade. And because of the success of this short film, Billy Bob was able to get $1 million for the feature film with a shortened title, Sling Blade, which he would direct, star in, and write the screenplay. And it would be the screenplay that would prove to be most successful for Billy Bob, when he won the Writers Guild of America Award for Best Adapted Screenplay and also the Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay, which was adapted from his own original work. Billy Bob would also be nominated for Best Lead Actor at the Oscars, and Sling Blade would win Best First Feature at the Independent Spirit Awards. This is a film that felt like it just came out of nowhere, as it was starring the 19th listed cast member of Tombstone. But this is further proof that sometimes in Hollywood, much like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon with Good Will Hunting, you just have to write the best material for yourself. Later that year, Billy Bob would co-write a film called A Family Thing that just kind of came and went. Billy Bob would start turning up in quite a few really interesting films. Everybody wanted to work with Billy Bob, like Robert Duvall. He would cast him in a film that he co-wrote called The Apostle in 1997, followed by a supporting character in Oliver Stone's U-Turn, where the actor is barely recognizable after putting on 80 pounds for the role of Daryl. Yeah, when you're watching U-Turn, you're like, is that Billy Bob Thornton? Is it him? He would also provide his voice for the U.S. dub of Princess Mononoke, and he would cameo as himself in the Hollywood mockumentary Burn, Hollywood Burn in 1997. 1998 would be a big year for the career of Billy Bob. Because of his impressive performance in Sling Blade, he would appear in Sam Raimi's underrated classic crime thriller, A Simple Plan, where he gets to play another juicy, unusual character, and he would be nominated for a Golden Globe and Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars. He would also appear in a film called Homegrown, and he would play a thinly veiled version of political strategist James Carville in another underrated classic film, Mike Nichols' Primary Colors, which is totally not about Bill Clinton. But it was Billy Bob's next film that really had a deep impact with the box office, with a gross of nearly $560 million worldwide. This has remained his highest grossing film to date. And of course, I'm talking about the film that saw Billy Bob playing the head of NASA, that space place. And his character decides to send a ragtag team of oil drillers to blow up an asteroid hurling itself towards Earth in Michael Bay's Criterion Collection film, Armageddon. Sure, I know the world loves to crap on Mr. Michael Bay, and most of the time he deserves it. But this movie right here, Armageddon, was the definition of a summer blockbuster, back when they used to be fun. Like, imagine, a movie about the end of the world is actually a fun wild ride. The plot was absurd, but awesome. But do you know why you bought the experience? Well, it was because of Billy Bob's performance. He kept this outrageous plot grounded. His acting really is the highlight of the film, and the Blockbuster Entertainment Awards agreed when they nominated him for Best Supporting Actor. Thanks for saving the world, Billy Bob. The final year of the millennium would give us Pushing 10. It's a cleverly written, character-driven, R-rated comedy about air traffic controllers, and Billy Bob is amazing opposite John Cusack. It tanked at the box office, though, but the story does not end there, because alongside Mr. Billy Bob was an actress named Angelina Jolie. Billy Bob and Angelina would begin dating while the actor was engaged to actress Laura Dern, and the rise of the Angelina-Billy Bob romance seemed to coincide with the rise of the paparazzi and the world's obsession with celebrity couples. It was like wrong time, wrong place, or right time, right place. Like that now infamous quote about how they consensually agreed to engage in an intimate act that physically expresses their love in the car.
We in the car on the way here. Yeah.
The duo were prone to very public displays of affection, licking all over each other, and they even wore vials of each other's blood around their neck. Years after their 2003 divorce, Billy Bob says that he's still very good friends with Angelina, and that their relationship wasn't nearly as wild as the fake news made it out to be. It was all just, whatever. I don't believe that. But Billy Bob says that they split because he never felt like he was good enough for her. He wrote Angelina a nice little tune called Angelina, though. In the year 2000, Billy Bob would have a heavy presence behind the scenes as he wrote the screenplay for the Sam Raimi-directed film The Gift, starring Cate Blanchett, Keanu Reeves, and Greg Kinnear. And this is actually one of the better supernatural thrillers that has been made in, you know, the last quarter century. And this is large part due to Billy Bob's eerie storytelling. It's a wonderful little flick. Billy Bob would then step back into the director's chair in All the Pretty Horses in the year 2000. And yeah, it's a decent flick, although he says his experience on the film really took its toll on him, and it soured him from ever really wanting to direct again, even though he would do it two more times, with the 2001 film Daddy and Them and the 2013 box office bomb Jane Mansfield's Car. But after that, he swears he's done. Billy Bob says that working with Harvey Weinstein on All the Pretty Horses was an extremely unpleasant experience, and that he fought with this monstrous producer every step along the way. And yeah, after the movie Jane Mansfield's Car came out in 2013 and underperformed, Billy Bob completely swore off from directing, as he says that it's too draining to devote a year or two of his life directing a personal project, only to have people come in and shite all over it, or just not even see it. Because yeah, I didn't see Jane Mansfield's Car. I'm sorry. So with writing and directing taking a back seat, Billy Bob would get back to his true passion, music. Beginning in 2001, Billy Bob would release 4 solo studio albums, as well as several albums with his band, The Boxmasters, including 2002's Help, I'm Alive. And I'm gonna be honest here, Billy Bob has a wonderful singing voice. I don't have any of his albums, but after hearing a few of his tunes, I respect him as a musician. And an actor too, but I'm not gonna mention that to Billy Bob while talking about his music career. The year 2001 was an amazing year for Billy Bob. He starred in a Coen Brothers movie, he was nominated for a Golden Globe, and he helped Halle Berry win an Oscar. So yeah, finally Billy Bob showed us his dark, quieter side with The Man Who Wasn't There, a film by the Coen Brothers. And since this is a Coen Brothers film, Billy Bob agreed to star without even reading the script, because they're the Coen Brothers. And not just any actor can carry a Coen film. The beautiful black and white cinematography really brings out the pain in Billy Bob's eyes. You can see the demons inside of him, coming out through the shadows. It takes a special kind of attitude and energy and a cynical sense of humor to keep up with the stories that the Coen brothers tell. And Billy Bob proves that he is the right man for this job. He was totally there in The Man Who Wasn't There. Right after that came the comedy Bandits, and that saw Billy Bob turn in a Golden Globe nominated performance as a bank robber, a hilarious bank robber, alongside his Armageddon buddy Bruce Willis. Billy Bob plays a more awkward, geeky character of this duo. But yeah, Bandits, it's hilarious, and it really shows off his softer side. But he still gets to participate in some violent criminal activities, don't worry. It's a clever, slightly slapstick crime flick. And Billy and Bruce, they have wonderful chemistry. Speaking of wonderful chemistry, let's talk about Billy Bob and Halle Berry in the masterpiece called Monster's Ball. And of course, Miss Halle Berry gives one of the most powerful, heartbreaking performances ever put onto film. But it is Billy Bob's strong, silent, mysterious performance that allows the entire cast to shine. Monster's Ball asks difficult questions about race, crime, family, love, death. And when you compare this subtle, chilling performance to the wackier character he plays in Bandits, just earlier that same year, you can truly see the talent and the range of the artist that is Billy Bob Thornton. He says that he feels like he got a bit typecast for some of his projects, saying that whenever anybody needed an a-hole, they'd call him. And in all honesty, him playing an a-hole has worked quite well. Just look at the year 2003 alone. And we all know that Christmas movies are a hard sell. Oftentimes, they are forced feel-good movies that add a bit of snow, and they make us feel all fuzzy inside. They're either really great or they're horrible. There's no in-between. And to make a true Christmas classic, it's really hard to do unless you're Billy Bob, who happens to star in two of the best Christmas movies ever made in one single year, Bad Santa and a small part in Love Actually, which grossed $247 million worldwide. He gets to play a frisky American president.
Morning, ma'am. How's your day so far? Excellent.
And, of course, Bad Santa would become an instant Christmas classic. Or kind of like the anti-Christmas classic. Billy Bob turned being a drunk, disgusting slob into an art form. He even received another Golden Globe nomination for his hilarious performance. And of course, this was back when people cared about the Golden Globes.
Let's have a laugh at your expense, shall we? Remember, they're just jokes.
Of course, Billy Bob would revisit the character 13 years later in Bad Santa 2, proving that sometimes you should just leave well enough alone. And a few years later, after Bad Santa 1, he would complete his Christmas trilogy with the Harold Ramis-directed Ice Harvest. Then Billy Bob got to star as the legendary Davy Crockett, and even learned how to play the fiddle just for the movie The Alamo. And apparently he had a great time making this flick. He would have such a great time that he would make another Texas flick with a wonderfully crafted, beautifully made sports drama called Friday Night Lights. Not the TV show, it's the movie one, where he would play a damn convincing football coach. And he joined up with the Coen brothers again in what is basically a scene-stealing cameo in the movie Intolerable Cruelty. And yeah, Billy Bob is the best thing about the worst Coen brothers movie. It's easy to see, after playing the now classic character in Bad Santa, why Richard Linklater would cast him in his remake of The Bad News Bears. Because Billy Bob was the new hip, grumpy old man. Even though that remake was pretty good, it was due entirely to Billy Bob's performance. But of course, it did lack some of the magic of the original, which is why you don't remake these f***ing things. And it seems that this movie, Bad News Bears, was bad news for Billy Bob's career, because this led to a small stretch of just run-of-the-mill comedies, where Billy Bob basically came in and played a version of his Bad Santa character, like in School for Scoundrels and Mr. Woodcock. They just weren't very good and not funny comedies, and it's good when the comedies are funny. It felt like Billy Bob's passion for acting was gone, and he was just phoning it in. But then Mr. Billy Bob goes and does TV and stars in the legendary first season of Fargo in 2014, where his genuinely frightening performance would win him a Golden Globe Award. And he would be nominated for an Emmy Award for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Limited Series. And as a Coen Brothers fan, at first I was not too sure about a TV version of Fargo. But when I heard that Coen Brothers alum Billy Bob was cast, I knew that this project was in the right hands. Billy Bob is absolutely a perfect fit for a Coen Brothers character. He's terrifying with a hilariously bad haircut. Yeah, Billy Bob's haunting performance will hunt you down and shoot you in your nightmares. And make you chuckle, too.
I was just talking to your boys. I think the younger one's a little dim.
With season one of Fargo, we were all reminded of what made Billy Bob such a screen presence. Whether it be on the big screen or the small screen, which are actually pretty dang big now. That must have shown Mr. Billy Bob that TV could be just as fun as movies. Because in addition to guest starring on The Big Bang Theory, something he requested to do because he was a huge fan of the series, and he would appear in the Yellowstone spin-off series, 1883. Billy Bob would also go on to star in the critically acclaimed Amazon series, Goliath, which wrapped up in late 2021 and would net Mr. Billy Bob another Golden Globe statue for Best Actor in a TV drama series. But Billy Bob's real genius is his ability to show up in so many vastly different movies. And every time he completely makes you root for him, no matter the level of a-hole he's playing. He's really great in films like Eagle Eye, The Judge, The Entourage movie, Into the Grizzly Maze, Our Brand is Crisis, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. He's probably the best part about London Fields, and he was in A Million Little Pieces. And don't miss him in the recent record-setting Netflix film The Gray Man. He plays characters that in the hands of lesser actors, you would simply hate and move on. But there's something about the way Billy Bob plays these roles that's so very unique to him. And then take on roles like the astronaut farmer and make you fall in love with the character, or fall in like. He's the type of actor that shows up in films that maybe you weren't expecting him in, you know, like Faster, Puss in Boots, Parkland, and he instantly makes the movie better. His personal life used to be splashed all over those tabloids, but that vicious, Holly-weird lifestyle, it seems to have settled down now that he's happily married to effects makeup artist Connie Englund for the past 6 years, making it his longest marriage to date. You couple that with a film and television resume that continues to grow, and a music career that keeps him happy and artistically fulfilled. He's got some good tunes, y'all. So yeah, that is why nobody should give a f*** about what the f*** happened to Billy Bob Thornton. Because he's doing just fine.